Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather around the name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to walk in the light of the Word. We thank you for your precious Word and for the Holy Spirit that whom you've sent to indwell us and to be our teacher and to be our guide. Thank you for giving us utterance today in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Glory to God. Well, you can open your Bibles to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We looked at some of these verses before. We want to look at them again, a little more depth in teaching on praying in tongues. Now, in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the scripture said, Paul said, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit," that's with my spirit, "in tongue. And I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the spirit. And I'll sing with the understanding also." And so, in discussing praying with tongues or speaking with tongues, I think it would be a good idea just to have an in-depth study of what the Bible actually said about it. For the simple reason that you see, and we've always seen it through the years, excesses that do damage to the body of Christ. I think for the reason that there are so many excesses is because there's been very little sound, logical, and scriptural teaching as to the scope and the value of speaking with other tongues. Now, as I've said before, it seems like on any given subject, any subject you want to mention, that the church either gets in the ditch on one side or the ditch on the other side, instead of standing in the middle of the road and going down the middle of the road. First of all, you know, there's that folks will say, some get in the ditch on this side, well, the tongues is not for us today, that's all been done away with. And then it seems like that if the devil can't keep you out of being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaketh other tongues, and once you get in, that he'll push you in the ditch on the other side, and then your testimony becomes invaluable and really a hindrance instead of a blessing. Because folks didn't stop to ask themselves, just what did the Word of God have to say? Well, first of all, we should ask ourselves the question, what is the scriptural purpose of speaking with tongues? Well, according to the scripture, there are a number. Now, of course, first of all, we see in the Acts of the Apostles, and I can quote all these scriptures, and I think you know that, but I want you to turn and read them, because a lot of times you just quote them. They just run off of people's back, sort of water, like water off of a duck's back, and they really don't get it. First of all, we see in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. So open your Bible and read and mark scriptures. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So here on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you see, they were waiting for that day. The Holy Ghost could not be poured out till then. You remember in Luke 24:49, Jesus had said to them, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Amen. And so when the day was come, the Holy Ghost came. Now you'll notice that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. As we go on through the Acts of the Apostles, we don't have any other record of that happening. We do have a record of speaking in tongues. But there's not another record in the Acts of the Apostles or in the New Testament anywhere where the Holy Ghost manifests himself as a rushing mighty wind. That doesn't mean that he couldn't. Amen? Because we've been in services where he did. Hallelujah. But what it does mean is that it's not something that you expect. Amen. You see, you expect people to speak with tongues because as we go along, we'll see that they did. That is when they're filled with the Holy Ghost. But you don't expect a rushing mighty wind because we see that it didn't occur again. In other words, it's not part of the initial evidence. But it could happen as the Lord wills. I know I've heard other people talk about it, and I've heard it. I've had it happen in my own meetings a time or two. And everybody heard it. And then again, when nobody heard it, but I did. And then when some of us felt like wind blowing on you, biggest part of the crowd. Some of them didn't feel anything because some folks not in position to. Amen. Spiritual things are dense, you know. But I remember one service, I was preaching a fellowship meeting down East Texas, last church I pastored in East Texas, Assembly of God Church, and I was asked by the presbyter to preach this fellowship meeting. And so I did. I preached on the morning service. And then when I finished my message, I was urged by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, and I gave an utterance in tongues. And in this case, I believe the pastor interpreted it. And then I spoke again with tongues, and the pastor interpreted. And then it was just like a wind blowing. Everybody heard it. You both heard it and felt it, but it's blowed through the building. And every single sick person in the house was instantly healed. Praise God forevermore. And I remember I went back and held a meeting for this pastor, and he was telling me about this, and then I met the woman. That a member of his church invited another lady to come. She is a member of the First Christian Church. And she was sitting second pew from the front, just right on the edge, right next to the aisle of the center section. And when that wind went through there, she said, I didn't know I wasn't a Christian. You know, I'd been in church all my life, belonged to the church. But when that, whatever that was, it blew through there, she said, I got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and delivered from a cigarette, just like that. She's just sitting there talking in tongues. Amen. And I went, like I said, went back and held a revival later. And she said, from that day to this, I've never smoked another cigarette. Never have even wanted one. Never have even wanted one. Well, you see, the stronger the power of God is in manifestation, the more easy it is to get delivered from anything. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so two or three times through the years, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues in 1937. Well, that's quite a few years ago, about 53 years ago. Huh? Amen. And about three times in those 53 years, there's been a manifestation like a rushing mighty wind. Now then again, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. Now again, you don't see that happening again. But that manifestation could happen and does happen. I know from, not only Christians, but even sinners saw it in days gone by in Pentecostal circles. In fact, neighbors called the fire department. They thought the church was on fire. They saw these tongues of fire leaping all over the building, the top. When the fire department got out there, they couldn't find anything. Well, it's just a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Now, you don't expect that to happen, but it can happen. Amen. And if it does, praise God. But one thing, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, now notice this. Let's go now 10 years later. It's only 8 chapters, but 10th chapter of Acts, but it really happened 10 years after the day of Pentecost. Let's turn and read it. Acts the 10th chapter. And we'll start reading with the 44th verse. Now, of course, without going into detail, this is Cornelius and his household. And how an angel appeared to him, told him to send to Joppa and inquire in the house for Simon the Tanner, for one Simon Peter, who when he has come will tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. So on. All right, now look at the 44th verse. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, now you see, he and Peter had taken with him six of these brethren, you know, they were Jews, but they had been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost now. They of the circumcision which believed, see, they had believed on Jesus, were astonished. Now, can't you see them Jews? They were astonished. See, these Jews looked on the Gentiles as being dogs. In fact, if you start with that 11th chapter, you'll find they called Peter on the carpet up there at Jerusalem. Yeah, you went into Gentiles. You even ate with them. See, they're born again, all right, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're still bound by their former religious ideas and rules and regulations and one thing and another. See, that happens so many times. We even see it today. But you see, if it's not scriptural, well, you just leave it alone. Walk on in the light. But anyway, they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished as many as came with Peter. Now, what are they astonished about? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what they're astonished about. Amen. See, a lot of folks got astonished, you know, because some Roman Catholics started getting the Holy Ghost. I mean, some Pentecostal people were really astonished. I could call some preacher's name, it's well known. Now that goes right along with it. But then, talking to me personally, couldn't believe it. I remember in what we called our home church in Texas. We lived for 17 years in Garland before we came to moved here. And our home church was the First Assembly of God church there. In fact, Brother Wood, who was the pastor there and then had retired, came when we first had school and taught quite a bit for us. And so he had a charismatic, after the charismatic move got started, he had a charismatic convention there in his church. And they had, made advertise and invited people to come. He said, to my utter amazement, Brother Wood told me, he said, I found out people in nearly every church here, never had a church in town, had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke another tongue, good number of them. And so they had a Presbyterian minister came who had received. Now, he came from out of town, but a lot of Presbyterian came. They found out a lot of, in the First Presbyterian Church, a lot of people had the baptism. And Lutheran pastor. See, different group, different pastors came and shared in this seminar that happened on, a charismatic seminar and convention for about a week. And then they had the Roman Catholic priest of one of the local Catholic churches. And so Brother Wood told me, he said, his folks, because see, some of them had been back there then, were older people, and they'd been in Pentecost almost from the beginning. You know, I mean, outpouring of the Holy Ghost here in America. And he said, some of them said to me, one fellow said, well, I can believe that the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Methodists, you see, but I just can't believe that. I just can't believe in them Roman Catholics. But they did anyway. Now, we used to, because, you know, these folks here of the circumcision were prejudiced. You know, I mean, they couldn't believe that these Gentiles could have anything, you know, because we're God's people.
That's right.
We're God's people. Amen. And so it reminds you of folks today a lot of time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that there is, in nearly any church you want to mention, certain deposits of truth. There may be other things there, but God can meet them and bless them on that deposit of truth. I remember Sister Clara Grace was an Assemblies of God evangelist, and then she, no doubt in her latter part of her life, that she was moved into the office of the prophet. I'd say probably for the last maybe 20 years of her life. Other years, she was strictly an evangelist. But I remember way back there in 1947. Now, see, 47 is about almost 20 years before you really got into the best move of the charismatic move. But she prophesied there in Dallas that the next move of the Spirit would be in the church world, denominational world, that God would visit these churches. And in that, the Lord said, there is a deposit of truth in each one of them that I can bless those people on. Well, I wondered about that. But, of course, I didn't know that much. But I remember then preaching Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention one time. And in that convention was also a Roman Catholic priest. Well, there was two of them that spoke. One of them was not only a Roman Catholic priest, but he was, he had several different degrees. He taught in their seminary and so on. Well, the first thing he did when he got up to preach was, first of all, apologize for some things, even when they were wrong in some things. And asked you to forgive them. But then he said, you know, don't criticize us. Pray for us. We need your prayers. We need help just like the rest of you do. And then he went on to state some truth. He said, in our church, because I am also a professor in seminary, he said, so many of our ministers are becoming liberal. In fact, he said, some of them no longer believe in the virgin birth. But we believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a deposit of truth, isn't it? Yeah. I sat there and counted them off, you know, and I thought, well, that agrees with Sister Grace's, you know, 20 years ago when she gave that. And then secondly, he said, we believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God in the divinity. He is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. But he said some of the liberal preachers coming up among us no longer believe that. I thought, well, we Protestants got the same problem. Amen. That's the truth. And then third, he said, we believe that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We believe in the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we do too. There's another deposit of truth. Amen. And he come right down the line on about five of them. And I could readily see why God could bless, you see, over in that area. And then I had an experience that was very outstanding along that line. I didn't have the experience, but what I meant was it happened while I was in it. I was preaching a seminar. We called it a faith seminar in a certain city in another state in cooperation with the Full Gospel Businessmen. I'd speak to their chapter meetings, and then instead of me having to go there, because I didn't have a crusade manager in all those days. And in fact, this was back before we ever even started the Rhema Bible Training Center. And so I just contacted the Full Gospel Businessmen chapter president there, and I got him to get us a place. So she don't have to send anybody in, you know, and rent a hall. We went in for this seminar, and they cooperated with us. And so there's another even larger city. This is a pretty good-sized city I was in, about 17 miles away. And one night, the chapter president of the Full Gospel Businessmen there came over to visit our seminar, and he called me back to there's a room behind the platform where I would be back there and pray. And so he said, I want to talk to you. I saw he's really, you know, elated about something. I mean, he just, you know, looked like his face looked like a neon sign turned on in the dark. Well, I happen to know, you see, that his background was Southern Baptist, and that he had just recently, you know, in the last two or three years, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues in connection with Full Gospel Businessmen. In fact, he was manager of this area for one of our major companies here in America. He was one of their top men. And so he said to me, Brother Hagin, he said, I don't know, I'm new in this, you know. But he said, let me tell you what happened. See what you think about it. I said, okay, tell it. Well, he said, you know, I left my office and was on my way home, of course, rush hour, you know. And it was just raining, just pouring down rain. And you know, he said, as I was approaching this signal light, you know, so much traffic, it changed two or three times before he could get there. And there's a big Roman Catholic church on the corner. And he said, something seemed to say to me, pull in there on that parking lot. He thought, now that's stupid, my goodness. But, you know, he kept inching up, you know, and something said again to him. And he got up there almost, you know, just a few cars in front of him. This parking lot of this. So he said, without thinking, I just whipped in there. And I sat there and I thought, well, now, Lord, what good did that do? Here I am sitting here. Lost my place in line back there, you know, because traffic, you know, just bumper to bumper. And he said, here I am. And he said, I didn't hear any voice, you know, that's audible, anything like that. But I don't know what to call it. He said, something seemed to say to me, I want you to go inside and lay hands on this Catholic priest to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, he said, I'm losing my mind. I'm not going in there and embarrass myself. And then he got to wondering, because see, he's new, you know. He don't know whether that's God or whether it's not God. He said, well, the only way I'm going to find out is just to go in and see. I'll go in and see if I can find anybody and, you know, if anything does happen. So he wandered through and finally come to this door, knocked on it, and a man's voice on the inside said, come in. So he said, I opened the door and stepped in, and there was a Catholic priest. You could tell by his ministerial garb. And he is sitting at a desk, had his Bible and a book open there on the desk. And when I stepped inside, he stood up to greet me. And I said, I'm so-and-so, chapter president of the Full Gospel Businessmen chapter here. Said, he said, well, glory to God, hallelujah. Said, but that scared me out of my shoes. And he went on to explain. He said, do you know... Oh, what was the guy's name? They wrote a Catholic guy. He said, I was just reading his book here, and he stated that he got the baptism and Holy Ghost through a Full God Bidden Men. And see, we think people know, but this one Catholic Peter. He said, it hadn't been 10 minutes ago that I bowed my head over on death and said, Lord, if there's any of those Full Gospel businessmen here, send one by here. God heard that Catholic priest's prayer. Amen. It wasn't 10 minutes ago. The Holy Ghost said, pull right in there. Amen. That sounds like the Acts of the Apostles, don't it? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so he laid hands on him, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's asking me what you thought about it. I said, hallelujah. That's what I think about it. Glory to God. Amen. Well, so many, you know, they can't understand. You know, they were astonished. Because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how do they know they got the gift of the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues. For they heard them, look at that 46th verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now then, let's go right on to the 19th chapter of Acts. The 19th chapter of Acts happened 20 years after the day of Pentecost. 20 years later. 20 years after Acts 2. Let's start reading the very first verse. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, well, what then were you baptized? They said unto John's baptism. They hadn't gotten any more light than that. Of course, news didn't travel like it does today. They had been baptized by John the Baptist, you know, who didn't baptize in the name of the Holy Ghost. He just baptized in the name of God the Father, Jehovah, telling the people to repent. These people are walking all the light that they'd moved away here to Ephesus. They didn't even know that Jesus had come. Amen? Amen. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. But they didn't know he'd come. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now, I'm sure that there's more people than that. If it's sort of like it is today, they were about three times as many women and children, so there'd be about 48 of them altogether. Amen. Well, now then, we can readily see that Here's three times where they received the Holy Ghost, and every time they spoke with tongues. Now let's go back to the ninth chapter of Acts, because here is another instance of someone receiving the Holy Ghost. You know the story here in the ninth chapter of Acts about Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. That's the very first verse of the ninth chapter. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So you see, when he saw the Lord there, his eyes were shut, because when his eyes were open, he saw no man. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision. Now here Saul is having another vision. He saw the Lord out there. He appeared to him and spoke to him. Now he's had another vision. In this vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I want you to follow me, reading that and follow me. Very interesting things here. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man, how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now what Ananias is trying to do is trying to tell the Lord he's making a mistake. Did you ever thought he'd missed it? You might as well admit it. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And you want me to go lay hands on him. But the Lord said unto him, now see Ananias, the Lord said to him in a vision. That means he saw the Lord and heard him speak to him. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. All right, look at the 17th verse now. And Ananias went on his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, now, wait a minute. We read back up there, it said, the Lord told him. Start with that 11th verse again. Well, 10th verse. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. That means he saw the Lord and heard him speak. Ananias, he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. The Lord never said one word to him about him laying hands on him, he might be filled with the Holy Ghost, did he? Huh? No, that he might receive his sight. And here Ananias is, said, The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. What in the world does Ananias want to add that to it? The Lord never told him that. Not in the vision, did he? We just got through reading. That you might receive his sight. I never even noticed that. I just read that till the Lord called my attention to it in December of 1950. Amen. You see, in September, first Saturday of September of 1950, when Jesus appeared to me in that first vision, laid the finger of his right hand upon each one of my hands, and said, kneel down before me. And I knelt before me, laid my hand on me, and said, I've called thee. He didn't mean he called me then. He just got through telling me that visit. He called me before his barn. And have anointed thee. He didn't mean he anointed me then. I'd been anointed to preach for all those years. And then he said, and given thee a special anointing. That's what happened right then. A special anointing to minister to the sick. And then he said, stand upright on your feet. And I stood up on my feet. And he must have talked for 45 minutes about different ways of ministering to the sick and so on. And how this worked. And that's all he talked about was that. So I immediately began to lay hands on people in a different way. I'd laid hands on the sick as a Baptist boy before he even started pastoring. I'd laid hands on the sick ever since 1934. You see, for 16 years and seen them heal. But now then I began to minister a little different way. And I came here to my next revival. That was Saturday night. We closed that revival the next night on Sunday night. And then I came here to Oklahoma and started a revival. Ran 6 weeks. Then I went from here down, from here in Oklahoma, you see, to Houston, ran 3 weeks. Then I came back to, and this happened in Jacksboro, Texas, and ran 3 weeks. That run me right up to Christmas time. See? 12 weeks is about 3 months, isn't it? And, you know, I had a little time off between each one of them. So, every place, right here in Oklahoma, and then there in Houston particularly, every meeting you had, it began to pick up a little bit more. I'd be laying hands on the sick, you see, because I'd give an altar call and send people to the prayer room to be saved and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I'd have what I called a healing line, folks wanting healing. Well, I'd stand down off the platform. Sometimes if it wasn't very high, we'd bring them up over the platform. But stand down there to the front, from the pulpit, off the platform, and take people one by one. Talk to them. Find out, well, who are you? Well, they'd give you a name. Where do you live? What church are you a member of? Have you been born again? What did you come for? Well, I came for healing. I got this stomach trouble. Well, will you be healed now? And I'd take some time with each one of them. You get more people healed that way, but you don't have that time if you got real big crowds. So you go ahead and try your best to prepare them, lay hands on them, and a certain percent of them will get healed. But when you minister like that, I'd always get the majority of them healed. Because you understand this, that there's a lot of them you didn't minister to right then. They weren't ready for it. You saw it. You can locate people by what they say. Will you be healed now as I lay hands on them? Well, I sure hope so. Well, you won't be. And I'd talk to them, try to get faith into them. When I couldn't change them into faith, I'd say, well, now you go. I didn't even lay hands on them. You go sit down, come back. Give them scripture sometime to read, meditate on, and then wait for a while before you come back. But then, folks, you see, that needed healing and also didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they didn't go to be filled with the Spirit. They got in the healing line. And I never said a word about the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost or speaking with tongues. And I'd lay hands on them to be healed, and they'd start talking in tongues. Now, I don't mean it happened just occasionally. I mean it just happened right along, just regularly. There'd be two or three of them every night. Sometime more, sometime less. And the pastor standing right there by me, he'd just reach up and scratch his head and say, "That be in there." They're just standing there talking in tongues. As we say, just talking up a storm in other tongues. And he'd say, "That beats anything I've ever seen in my life." Now that lady or that man's a member right here. They've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 15 years. Well, I said the same Holy Ghost that'll heal you, will fill you if you'll yield to Him.
Amen.
I mean, it's not two Holy Ghosts. There's a healing Holy Ghost. No, it's just one Holy Ghost. I mean, the same one. He does all of it.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only way I knew to explain it. So, these months later there, you see, in December, we got there to Jacksboro, Texas. And the same thing's happening. I'm laying hands on folks. And the pastor would be puzzled. He'd scratch his head and say, that beats anything I've ever seen. But by then, I was used to seeing that, so it didn't puzzle me any. I mean, I just, well, praise God. But then I'm praying one day. About, only had night services, see. So I'm praying about the night service, and the Lord spoke to me. And He said to me, now tonight, see, I'd never done that. I'd never seen anybody else do it. We'd send them to the prayer room and to be filled with the Spirit, you know, and these just got filled without us saying anything. You know what I mean? Just did it. And the Lord said to me, now tonight, in the service, I want you to lay hands on people just especially to be filled with the Spirit. Before you ever lay hands on the sick. Call for everybody that wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost and lay hands on them. Well, I said, now, Lord, I never seen anybody do that. I'm talking about 1950 now. We did. You see, you younger folks think that's widespread, but it wasn't. In our circles, nobody did that. I wasn't laying hands on those folks actually to be filled with Spirit. I was laying hands on them to be healed. Didn't just specify that. In fact, didn't say anything about the Holy Ghost. Until finally, after it happened so much, I would tell people occasionally when I questioned them, found out they're saved but hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, I'd say, well, the same Holy Ghost that'll heal you, fill you, and just let it go at that. Didn't give them instruction. They'd get filled. But now He just wants you to specify that, see? And I said, now, Lord, you're good, you know, I mean, yeah. Because, see, I didn't see everything I know now. This is the way I learned it. I didn't hear somebody preach it. The Lord said to me, I said, you're going to have to give me scripture. He said, well, He pointed out to me that five times, you see, here in the Acts of the Apostles, when they received the Holy Ghost, that in every case except the spontaneous outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the Jews in Acts 2, and the Gentiles in Acts 10, all the rest of the time, the other three times they received by laying on of hands. Amen? Well, you see, I didn't see that. I didn't know that. I didn't see that before. And so then He said to me, He took me to this ninth chapter, and I never saw that before. Read that too. Prided myself, having read the New Testament through 150 times, portions of it more than that. Just read over it and don't get it. He called my attention to the fact that in the vision, in fact, He said it to me first and I didn't believe it. I had to get my Bible to see that it's in there. He said to me, I told Ananias, go lay hands on Paul that he might receive his sight. I didn't tell him in the vision to lay hands on him that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't, did he? We just read it. And I had to get my Bible. See, the Lord's talking to me while I'm praying. And I had to open my Bible and read that again. And sure enough, He didn't. Well, I said, how come Him to say that then? He said, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, said He had sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't He? Didn't He? I said, didn't He?
Amen.
Yet in the vision, all He told him was lay hands on him and might receive his sight. Now He's saying the Lord told him. I said, how come you do that? The Lord said to me, that's exactly what I wanted you to ask me. He said, on the way over there, I told him also, not in a vision, but just speaking to his spirit, like I'm speaking to your spirit. Can you see that? See, very often, that's where we miss it. We read the Bible and put our interpretation on it to figure out, or how we got it figured out. That's what happened. That's the way it happened. Instead of reading or listening real carefully. Well, I saw that then. He said, you see, I just dealt with the healing side when I appeared to you in that vision. But I didn't just anoint you to lay hands on people to be healed. I also anointed you to lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, he said, I gave you a special, I gave you a ministry of laying on hand. Everybody doesn't have a ministry of laying on hand, but there is really a ministry of laying on hands. And I began to see that. So that night then, and I like to prove everything by the scripture, after I'd preached, then first I did just gave an altar call first, see, just for people to be saved, not be filled with the Spirit. Like I'd been used to doing. Then I called these separate that wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's seven people. Okay, you understand we're in a small church, you know, it might have seen 300. Nice jam-packed, probably 400 people in there. Because, I mean, they're just like sardines in a can. But there was only seven came to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I said to them, I got people to move off one of the front pews over here. There's 3 seconds of seat. And I set these seven there. And then I just told them what I told you and what the Lord told me. And about this in Acts 9 here. Where the Lord in the vision, he just talked to me about healing, you see. In the vision, he just told Ananias, lay hands on Saul that he might receive his sight. And so I laid hands on these, and 6 out of the 7, the minute I touched them, started speaking with tongues. I mean instantly. 6 out of 7. That's a pretty good number, pretty good percentage, isn't it? And so I started then counting them. And from 1950 through 1958, I laid hands on and heard 10,000 people speaking other tongues. And the Lord said to me, quit counting them. So I quit. I don't know how many since then. But I'd go to church after church. Many Pentecostal church, half of them didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'd have 100. It wasn't anything at all for me to have 100 people, 150 people filled with the Holy Ghost. Some full gospel been in convention. Wasn't anything at all to have 300 one time filled with the Holy Ghost speaking tongues. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, of course, you can teach and train others to do that, so one man can't do everything. Amen. Amen. But I just pointed that out to you so you can see the difference. Some of these little side journeys helps us about as much as anything, I think. Now, again, I want you to notice this, that I remember I had another experience along this line that you might be interested in. You want me to tell it?
Yes.
Well, we'll wait on that. I'm going to tell it. I was just joking. I was holding a meeting in another state, and there was a lady came up in the line. See, so then, from December 1950 then, I started putting people in the same line. I just give the invitation for folks to be saved, or backsliders to come back into fellowship with God, or people who don't know whether they're saved or not, just a church member to come. And then I'd put people in the same line to be healed and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd just call it a prayer line, see. Before, I called it a healing line because we just strictly minister healing. Now, I called it a prayer line. And I'd do the same thing. I'd ask them, you know, what, to find out which one they came for, to be filled with the Spirit or to be healed. And because you'd instruct them a little bit different according to what they came for. So, we came to this lady. And so I said, well, what did you come for? Well, she said, I guessed that Holy Ghost business. Well, I've got her located immediately. She don't know a thing in the world about the Holy Ghost. She don't know a thing in the world about Him. Amen. Because He is a divine personality. And so then I want to find out what church you remember. I knew pretty well just what she said, but I want to hear her say it. And you see, I've got a microphone on. Everybody can hear all over the altar. Because we was in a larger church then, seat to 800, 1,000 people. And so I said, well, what church you're a member of? She didn't tell me. She said, well, I think I'm just about as much saved as you or anybody else I know of. I said, you might be and you might not be. Have you ever been born again? Well, not that I know of, but I think I'm just about as much saved as you or anybody else I know of. I said, that's not what I ask you. I said, have you ever been born again? She said to me, what are you doing laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you an apostle? I got her located. See, you locate people with what they say. And I just kept giving a little rope, you know, after I knew she was going to hang herself with it. Just play out the rope, you know. I said, well, I see you really know your New Testament. Yes, said, we speak where the New Testament speaks and are silent where it's silent. I said, I see you know your New Testament. I said, now the apostles were all filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And then they had the power to lay hands on others to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But when the last apostle died, all that ceased. Yeah, she said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I said, what about Ananias? She said, Ananias who? I said, Ananias in the 9th chapter of Acts. I said, was he an apostle? I saw she was confused, so I recently got my Bible here off the pulpit. And I just turned and opened it to the 9th chapter of Acts and had her to read that. There was a certain disciple. Just read on, I said. She kept trying to quit. And after she read it, you see, and Ananias entered in, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus appeared to thee in the way as thou came and sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, I didn't know that was in there. I said, was Ananias an apostle? No, she said he wasn't. She started to walk away. I said, wait a minute, come on back, come on back. Now you wanted to know, you asked the question. What am I doing laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And me not an apostle? Because you thought just the apostles could do that. I said, I want to answer the question. You asked the question, I'm going to answer it. I'm laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, same reason Ananias did. The Lord appeared to him in a vision, told him to. He appeared to me in a vision. In connection with the vision, he told me to. That's why I'm doing it. And I needed her a little bit. I said, you see, you say y'all speak where the New Testament speaks and are silent where it's silent and lie about it. And I actually do it. Now you can go sit down. So she went and sat down. Amen. Well, thank God for the word. Amen. Now, in case I had you to read that real carefully, in case that you didn't, I told you I could quote it, but I want you to read it because you don't get it. Now, let me show you where we miss it a lot of time. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there in one accord in one place, suddenly came the sound of heaven like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared cloven tongue like as a fire and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the other tongue, and the Spirit gave them utterance. While Peter yet spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us. The beginning of the day of the circumcision were astonished because that on the Gentiles had poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise and go in the street, call straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and is seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, might receive his sight. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many of this fellow how that he's wrought havoc in the church of Jerusalem and has letters in his possession, giving him the authority to put in jail and in chains and imprison them therein that way. And the Lord said, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, before Israel, and before kings. And I'll show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias entered in, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus appeared to thee in the way as thou camest and sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Now you see, if I'd have done it like that, you'd have missed it, wouldn't you? That's the reason we've done it the other way. Amen.
Amen.
I used to preach that way. Time to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Pick up where we left off today. I'll remember. Don't you forget. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org. or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.